you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Well, happy Thursday. My name is Joey Kroll. It is such an honor to yet again spend another Thursday here with you. It is January the 12th, 2012, and it just occurred to me that it's 1-12-12 today. And are you enjoying the new year so far? You know, isn't it great just to be back on normal structure? The holidays are over and just the hustle and bustle of just the whole Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and it's just great to be back on a normal schedule and so forth. And the temperatures have been unusually warm this winter, which I'm okay with that. The snow can stay in Alaska. I'm okay with that. I'm enjoying it so far. It is great to be back on a normal structure and schedule. But the main question is, when you write down the dates, have you been putting 2011 down by accident or 2012? I know a lot of people mess that up. I mean, I mess it up every year, but I'm surprised because I have been putting down the accurate date, 2012, when I write down the day here. But it's only been a couple of weeks into the new year, and I'm sure by the time this program is over, I'm going to put something weird down. I just know it. Since I said it out loud, I'm going to put something weird down like 2007 by accident. I can totally see that. I can totally see that. But yeah, new year, New Year's resolutions. I know a lot of people are trying to keep that consistent and so forth. And I don't know if you're trying to maybe watch your weight a little bit, but there's actually a really neat women's Bible study on Saturday at the Windsor Road Christian Church beginning at 9. It's the Made to Crave Bible study. And Made to Crave is actually a book. I believe her name is Lisa Turkhurst, who is very transparent in her book. It's all about craving God and not food and just changing your mindset when it comes to food and your relationship with God. So really good book. I know my wife has read it here in the last year or so. The Windsor Road Christian Church will be having a Bible study on that book on Saturday beginning at 9. If you'd like to get more information, by the way, just check out our event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. You know, I have had the honor of interviewing, in my career, well-known celebrities, Christian artists, having lunch and dinner with them and just getting to know them one-on-one. And this by far will be my favorite interview, which I'm about to do. It is with my wife, Aubrey Kroll. Sweetheart, how you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning. Thank you.
Very cool. Well, today we are focusing on celebrating marriage. And I know a lot of people kind of frown upon marriage. A lot of people tend to avoid it and not even talk about it. So let me ask you, sweetheart, what would be your definition of marriage? I mean, if you were to tell somebody what marriage is all about, how would you define that?
I believe that marriage is a commitment between two people, that it's a lifelong commitment that you make. And, you know, you vow to be with that person forever. Till death do you part. Mm-hmm. And that means through everything. And you can't just walk out and go and leave. And times get tough. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And it's a lifelong commitment. And you can't just walk away from that.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people view marriage as, I guess, as a contract. You know, contract has, clauses and so forth. And, you know, when we did my cousin's wedding a couple months ago, we kind of talked about the difference between a covenant and a contract. A covenant cannot be broken. I mean, if something was to come up that was to surprise anybody, it is not meant to be broken. And in a contract, it may be terms or some type of a clause. So just changing our mindset instead of looking as marriage as, well, you did that wrong, so therefore I'm done, you know? So do you think even Christian people kind of have that mindset sometimes, how we feel like, oh, man, I've had it and I'm done, I'm over it? Even good Christians.
Absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, it's so easy because we're human, and it's so easy for us just to give up and say, I can't do this anymore. You know, mm-hmm. you're impossible. You can't change, you know, but the Bible says that we can change. You know, God can restore anything, and mm-hmm. he can change our hearts, mm-hmm. and, you know, but it's up to us to want to mm-hmm. do that. You know, God gave us free will, but we have to take that and, mm-hmm. and change ourselves.
Yep. And you know what? You're absolutely right, because I know, and we've been married for, what, almost a year now?
Almost.
And I know there have been several times where I'm like, you know, if this was a non-Christ-centered marriage, so hit it with you. But what do you think is the biggest struggle for people in their first year of marriage? Coming from experience, obviously.
Honestly, I think just meshing two people together. I mean, you and I, we did not live together before we were married. You know, you're taking two different people who had, were set in their ways, who I did things differently, you did things differently, and now here we are trying to live together in a home, and, you know, our situation is different. You know, we're a blended family, and so we have children on top of that, and so, you know, you had your way of doing things, like the dishwasher and folding towels, and I had my way of doing those.
And even to this day, I am not allowed in the laundry room for some reason.
You know, but those are things that, you know, we just had to overcome, and, mm-hmm. you know, I had to give up a little bit of control through that. But
I still have the skill set, thanks to my wife. I can change any red shirt to pink in an instant like that. So in an instant like that. But we talked about that. That's like one of the biggest struggles. And I absolutely agree with you.
Right.
Just trying to get to know each other in a brand new way.
Yes.
So what is the biggest struggle for marriage itself today?
I think just making it work. I don't think people try hard enough. You know, like we had talked about in the beginning, I think people, it gets hard and they just want to give up. You know, we have had a pretty tough year. You know, we've dealt with some illness and some things like that. And there are plenty of times where I'm sure that both of us have wanted to give up and run away in the other direction and say, we've had it. I mean, seriously. But it's that commitment that we made to each other mm-hmm. and before God mm-hmm. and, you know, that we are to be together for mm-hmm. each other mm-hmm. for the rest of our lives through everything. Mm-hmm. So I think people just tend to just give up too quickly.
And I think the biggest thing is we forget our vows.
Yeah.
You know, the person that we dedicated and gave our commitment to. I mean, do you remember my vows? Or do you just try to forget that day?
No. No. I remember some of them, but...
You hold them over my face every morning. No. One of the vows that I told you is to show you Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there have been many days that I failed where I know myself where, like, you know what, I blew it. I totally ruined the vow. And there are days which I hope I lived true to that.
Yes, you have.
But I think a lot of us kind of forget the fact that, you know what, this is my commitment, and we tend to be self-centered as individuals.
Well, this is true. And, you know, and for girls, too, there's all this hoopla, you know, leading up to the wedding, and, you know, there's all this stuff with all these details, and I think that sometimes, you know, girls forget, you know, what the actual wedding is about. Mm. You know, there's all the dress and the cake, and there's all this stuff, and I think sometimes there's so much that's going on with the wedding that mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, couples forget that there's actually truly is a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, that you truly are making a commitment, and this really is truly a lifelong thing.
When you and I were reading our premarital counseling book, and it mentioned, it was by H. Norman Wright. I love that guy. He's really smart. He said something really interesting in there that kind of made you and I go, huh, I never thought of it like that. He said, the most important thing, do you remember this?
I don't know. No. Okay. You haven't said it yet.
The most important thing about your wedding day is your vows.
Yes, I do remember that.
And then we were like, wow, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the cake as much as we like, or I like cake and so forth. It's not necessarily about that. It's about the wedding vows.
Right.
So, all right. So we're talking about marriage today. We're celebrating marriage. And so we've been talking about those who are married and talking about some of the struggles and so forth. But what about those, Aubrey, those who have a negative perception of marriage itself. So why do you think the world today has a negative view of marriage?
Well, I just think that maybe the world has a negative view on marriage because so many people take it for granted. People are getting so getting divorced so easily these days, and they're not taking it so as seriously mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. our grandparents mm-hmm. and our great-grandparents mm-hmm. have, who've been married, 30, 40, 50 years, and people are taking it for granted, and it's disposable now. Marriage is disposable, and mm-hmm. so people think that, I can marry this person, but if I'm not happy in 3 or 4 years, I can just get a divorce and I can find somebody else new. Well, mm-hmm. that's not how, God intended it, mm-hmm.
Exactly. And just look at Hollywood today. I mean, we read in the tabloids who's dating who got married to who, and who got divorced to who.
Right.
And the more and more we see that in our culture, the more and more accepted it is.
It feels accepted.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. I think a big part of that is, too, are the kids that are seeing their parents go through divorce.
Exactly.
And they feel that hurt and that pain, and they grow up saying, well, I really don't want to get married if that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And I think that we all forget as parents that we represent what a husband and what a wife looks like, and we need to model that to our sons and daughters. I mean, guys, we need to remember that, we show our daughters who they need to be marrying.
Right.
And moms, you need to remind yourselves that you represent the wife that your son should be looking for.
That's exactly right.
So there is one of my favorite Bible verses that talks about wives. There's this passage, and I think it's in Proverbs 21, where it says, it is better for a man to live in a corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And there's also another one, it is better for a man to live in a desert than live with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. I think that's in Proverbs 21. That's biblical, by the way. No, we joke around with that. I tease you every now and then about that. Just being down to earth and absolutely serious. And why do you think that women tend to complain? According to the scripture, what are we doing as men that's causing you to be angry or complain or nag, I guess is a word. I mean, why do you think that is? Coming from a woman's perspective, and I'll be more than willing to humble myself and listen to this.
Well, considering that we have only been married less than a year, and I am only speaking from that perspective, I can't speak for women who have been married 10, mm-hmm. 15, 20 mm-hmm. years, but I think my biggest thing that I would say is that we want our husbands to listen to us more mm-hmm. and follow through whenever we ask you to do something. Or I know we can't expect you to be mind readers, but why not?
You know how many girls or women are listening right now saying, like, amen, sister, preach it.
Why can't you tell that when my arms are crossed and I'm mad at you and I really wanted you to go get me that soda instead of, or you know what I'm saying?
You expect us to be mind readers.
Pretty much.
But you know what? And you kind of need to work on that a little bit, but it says something when I actually do it and take the initiative. What is my wife trying to say here? And when I actually get you that soda, it makes it that more special. But you got to get over that mind reading stuff, please. It's driving me nuts. But so you and I, we're trying to understand each other's roles and responsibilities and so forth. So what, in your opinion, what is the role of a husband and what is the role of a wife based on your experiences and based on what you've understood in the Word of God and so forth? What is the role for each spouse in the marriage?
From what I have known, a man is supposed to be the man of the house and take care of things, and the woman's not supposed to worry about any of that stuff. And a woman is supposed to be that Proverbs 31 woman where she's supposed to take care of her home and take care of her husband and her children and do the laundry and, work from her home. But reality sets in and, that's not the case when both parents work or, mm-hmm. You can't stay home and be that stay-at-home mom.
Single moms.
Or if you're a single mom or a single dad. sad or, you know, something like that, you know, and sometimes those expectations aren't met.
And I think that's where a lot of conflict happens, when those expectations on each other are not met. And I think that's where it's like, why aren't you doing this? Or how you dropped the ball on that. Why haven't you taken
initiative
on that?
And then that can go back to the nagging, question that we went to back before.
Yeah, sort of like those unmet expectations that kind of just cause that conflict. So let me ask you a question. You're a woman. I'm a guy. We're obviously different people, you know, at times. What does a woman really need from her husband, other than that soda that we expect you guys to just...
I don't even drink soda. I don't even know why I said soda. She needs that emotional support. She needs that emotional side of her husband, to where when she's had a bad day and she needs her husband just to listen to her so she can, you know, just basically blab about her day and just get all of that stuff out. Mm-hmm. You know, she needs her husband to make her feel like a woman, mm-hmm. you know, make her feel good about herself. So whenever she, you know, gets dressed up, or when she's, you know, getting ready for work, or if they're going somewhere and she's, you know, fixing her hair, you know, he needs to say, you know, honey, you look beautiful. You know, a husband needs to, you mm-hmm. know, say that to his wife, you know, because whenever a husband says that to his wife, you know, it's just more motivation. And when a woman feels good about herself, you know, it only motivates her to, you know, do things for her husband, mm-hmm. do things around mm-hmm. her house, make her feel more productive, make her get dressed up more, mm-hmm. want mm-hmm. to put makeup on, you know, anything like that, or anything.
And I remember, this was just last week, I forgot to tell you, you look so pretty, you were getting ready for New Year's Eve, and you were so mad at me for the entire night, because I forgot, or I didn't acknowledge that how pretty you looked, and you held it over my head for a good day and a half.
I even had sparkly glitter stuff, like eyeshadow, and curled my hair, and you did not say one word to me.
that's the need of a woman. She needs to be reminded. She's obviously more of the emotional type, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of like, oh, you know what? You like, this is a perfect example of you. When I tell you, oh, that's a pretty shirt, you're like, oh, this ugly old thing. But I know deep down inside, you're like, huh, well, maybe this shirt's not so bad after all.
Yeah, he really did notice.
Like, you know, some of the things that guys need is, obviously, according to scripture, is respect. And I know that sounds like a dictator. I hate saying that as such, but in a way to where you ask your husband, how do you feel respected? You know, how do you feel respected? And it's going to be different for so many people. Like, you know, for women, they need those little things. Like, when I forget to tell you how beautiful you look, you get mad at me. I mean, just like anybody else that can relate.
Well, I don't get that mad. No. Like, you make it sound like the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, I'm really not like that.
No. You're the Wicked Witch of the East, not the West, okay? No. But I just, like, encourage you, like, you know, study your spouse and see what makes them feel loved or respected, or their love language, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and sweetheart, I know your love language is service, and mine is words of affirmation. So it's a lot easier for you to say, oh, you look nice today. And then, you know, and I'm good. I got to build you a closet or something to let you know that I love you. But in closing here, we got a couple of minutes left. What would be a healthy thing for married couples to do that can improve their relationship to each other and just for their marriage in itself?
Well, I believe, you know, try to go out on regular date night. Mm-hmm. You know, try to make time for your spouse. You know, find a babysitter, maybe somebody in your church, a teenager that you can trust if you have children, you know, that can watch your children for a couple hours. Hang out with other married couples, even if they're older than you. I know that you and I do that. We don't hang out with a lot of people our age sometimes, but we like to seek wiser counsel. You know, I think that's smart to do. But I think regular date nights, you know.
Yeah, we try to make Monday nights our date night. Plus, we like to eat out, too, so that kind of that gives you a day off from, you know, cooking your macaroni and cheese for your high-end dinner.
Babe!
I'm just kidding.
I'm becoming quite the crock pot master.
We're celebrating marriage today. We're talking about just our weaknesses and things that we can improve with our strengths, how to encourage one another and just love our spouse through their weaknesses and so forth. So in closing, Aubrey, being a married woman now, you are married, right? We got this
yes.
official. Okay, cool. Just checking. What would you say to that single woman who is listening right now, who's considering getting married? Who should she seek out as her spouse? What are some things that she should look for in her mate?
You know, there's that saying that a woman's heart should be so lost in God that a man needs to seek him in order to find her. And I truly believe that a woman just needs to just keep praying that, you know, God will continue to just bring somebody into her life. You know, but if she has somebody, our thing is that we were best friends, you know, before we started dating or anything. And you and I, you know, I love that you were my best friend first, because we got to know each other before we became that boyfriend, girlfriend. And I love that about you the most, is that you and I can share anything with each other. I encourage a woman to just seek out somebody that she knows that just loves God and loves Jesus and just has a pure heart, and that, you know, just watch the way he is with his family and his friends and his environment and just everything, and just know and trust and pray and ask and seek God's guidance. You know, that this truly is a man, and God will let you know.
And maybe if you're in that boat today, or if you have been married and it has been just a rocky season for you, or you just see no end in sight, just know that we would love to be praying for you here at Great News Radio. You could just give us a call. And I know Karen would love to be praying for you. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. There is hope, and if our God can speak something out of nothing and create this world, I'm sure that he can speak life into a dead marriage. And Aubrey, my wife, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.